In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Confirmations are always special. They have sometimes a rather unique quality in the diocese in Europe. And I think that's the first time we've heard part of our readings in Mandarin. But my last confirmation was in Fontainebleau 2 weeks ago, and there were four candidates, and the oldest of the four candidates was an American with some rather long hair and a beard, and I asked him, was he going to be putting himself forward to play Jesus in the next Passion Play? Well, no, he said, no. I said, what do you do? He said, I play Buffalo Bill at Disneyland. Well, that was totally unexpected. He said, have you ever been to Disneyland, Bishop? No, well, you better come. So I think that would be rather fun. Never know. I mean, I might get a part two. Words from our gospel reading. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And all of them were amazed. What's in a name? Well, quite a lot, it would seem, from our gospel reading about the birth of John the Baptist. Quite a lot, it would seem, when later on in this confirmation service, I anoint each one of you being confirmed with the oil of chrism, and I say to you, Nigel or Mary or whatever your name is, God has called you by name and made you his own. And our names are important, for they sum up who we are. Just think, there's a great crowd, and you hear someone calling your name in a voice you recognize. And there may be quite a lot of hubbub going on around you, but you hear your name. Yes, that is me. That is who I am. And the biblical world held names to be very important. I think they were rather more important than they are perhaps in our world today. And I always like to look at the notes, at the footnotes in the Bible, where they often will say what the name means. Because unless you know what the name means, you don't always get the full import of what's being said. So in that story of the baby Moses being drawn out of the water of the Nile and given to Pharaoh's daughter, she calls him Moses, and Moses means the one who was drawn out of the water. Or in the Old Testament again, Abram's name was changed to Abraham. And Abram means simply father of height, i.e. he's a tall guy, and he's changed to Abraham, meaning the father of a great multitude, echoing God's promises that his descendants would become a great nation, God's chosen people. And in a rather different way, perhaps, in the New Testament, Saul, which means the one asked for, becomes Paul, which means the little one. That may be just Titch, because he was not very tall, or it may be it's because of what Paul says about himself. I am the least of the apostles, the little apostle. And Jesus himself, of course, has a name which means something. It means Savior, Yeshua in Hebrew, the one who saves. And so Jesus Christ means the one who saves, the anointed one of God. So what of this child, John the Baptist, whose birth the church celebrates today? The Hebrew would have been Yohanan, and that means God is gracious. And so it's a fitting name for a child of promise born at long last to elderly parents who've longed for a family but without success. So Elizabeth's asked, what should we call him? Asked Zechariah after his father. No, call him John, Yohanan. God is gracious. And Zechariah, of course, who's been struck dumb earlier on in the story, he calls for a writing tablet and he writes down, his name is John. And indeed, the parents of John the Baptist also have names which mean something. Elizabeth means God is the one who has sworn and who keeps his promise, and so God is faithful. And Zechariah, which means God is renowned and held in honour. So when John is the child of promise is born, God shows that he is faithful and is to be honoured, and the child is a gift, as all children are gifts, and is born because of God's grace and loving kindness. Elizabeth says, he will be called John, Yohanan, God is gracious, even though we don't find that name in the family, so what are you doing stepping out of the family line? And Zechariah, struck dumb, confirms this by writing it down. His name is John. And John has gone on being a very popular name in the Christian world in many forms. Johann, or Hans, or Jean, or Ivan. Many different languages, all this name of John, the God who is gracious. And this feast of the birth of John the Baptist was kept because John, the child of promise, was the one who was seen as the herald of the coming Christ, the Messiah. The Eastern Church calls John the Prodromos, the one who goes before, as the Gospel tells us, to prepare the way of the Lord. And John's preaching of repentance in the wilderness points forward to the coming of the Lord's Messiah. And it is to the Jordan where John baptizes and plunges those who respond to his preaching of repentance beneath the water of the Jordan as a sign of washing and cleansing, a whole change of mindset, which is what the Greek word for repentance really means. And so Jesus himself comes to be baptized by John and is hailed by John as the one who will also baptize, but with a greater baptism, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Indeed, one of the old stories and legends of the early Christian world was that when Jesus went down into the waters of the Jordan, the Jordan flamed with fire. Here was the Holy Spirit of God surrounding the promised Messiah. Jesus himself is baptized not because he needs to be washed and cleansed from sin, but because he identifies with us, with our fallen and frail and sinful humanity. Now, when you look at the Christian calendar, you find this feast is 6 months away from Christmas and 3 months away from the Feast of the Annunciation. So the birth of the forerunner, the one who points to Jesus, is reminding of us of our need for repentance, of our need for that change of mindset, of heart, of the way we look at things. And that change of heart is in preparation for the life of the new creation which Jesus brings about, because through him God gives himself into the world, becoming one with us, that we may be made one with him. And this feast also falls at the height of summer, Midsummer's Day, near enough. And in earlier ages, many celebrations and customs were celebrated with it. You kept John the Baptist, and you kept Midsummer. Midsummer bonfires and revels and all kinds of celebrations, and some doubtless going back far beyond the coming of Christianity and taken by the church and built around this feast of John the Baptist. And when John is born, his father Zechariah is said by St. Luke to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he bursts into the song we know as the Benedictus, which we sang just before the Gospel reading. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He's raised up for us a mighty salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And John, the newborn baby, is hailed as the little child who will be the prophet of the Most High, going before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. And for centuries, the church has used this great song of praise as the gospel canticle or song at morning prayer, because it speaks of the dawn from on high breaking upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, the true and eternal light, and we sing the praise of that light at the dawning of each new day. Today in our confirmation, you too are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of a new life given to you in Jesus Christ. And the sign of that new life are the laying on of hands in blessing and anointing with oil. You are to be Christians, which literally means the anointed ones. If Christ is the anointed one, Christians are the anointed ones. And the oil, which was the source of light in the ancient world, the olive lamp was what you burnt to give light in your house, is what marks you with the sign of the cross in that oil traced on your foreheads. God has called you by name and made you his own. So your name is now a Christian name. You are sealed, your sign, your stamp as Christians. You have a cross of light on your foreheads, a cross powerful against all the forces and powers of evil. Christ has come to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And you are those who are to walk in that light, walk in his light, live in his life, be bearers of his light into the dark places of the world. And like John the Baptist, you are to be those who go before the Lord, living his life, speaking his word. And today you're laid hold of by a love which will never let you down, and it will never let you go. The love of God is the light that shines in the darkness. And as St. John says at the beginning of his gospel, the darkness was not able to overwhelm it or to snuff it out. The child of Elizabeth and Zechariah was called Yohanan, John. God is gracious. And that's actually true for each and every one of you today. God is gracious. He's called you by name. He's made you his own and fills you with his life-giving spirit. And that breath of life and that energy is to strengthen and sustain you throughout your life. You are, as St. Paul says, to grow up in all things into Christ. And if you are to do this, you need to give time to be attentive, time to read and study the Bible, and particularly the Gospels, to know more deeply the Christ who calls you. You can't know someone unless you spend time with them. And the way in which we can spend time with Jesus is in our prayer of silent attentiveness, and in reading the Gospels, and in finding ourselves in the Gospel story. Stories which are so often about Jesus meeting people and then transforming their lives. And you can say, where am I in this story? You may be one of the not quite understanding and fussing disciples. You may be one of those needing to be healed, to be given sight. Or you may be one of those sometimes who are, well, I don't really want much to do with him because he's causing quite a lot of disturbance. My life might not be quite so simple if I had to deal with Jesus. And yet, that life is his gift to you. You need to feed on his life in the Eucharist, where he gives his life to you week by week in the breaking of bread and the sharing of a cup of wine, the bread which is his body, the wine his blood poured out, his life offered for the life of the world. Jesus uses the simplest of things to share his life with us. And it's amazing how powerful this gift he gave to the church, this breaking of bread in obedience to his command, where the disciples recognized him in despair as the risen Christ at Emmaus. And it goes on being powerful and sustaining and feeding us. And because it is this feast day on which you're confirmed, you might like to make the Benedictus, the song of Zechariah, a prayer and a praise that is particularly your own. And I've actually printed out for you the words of the Benedictus that we find in our Common Worship translation, and also another version which can be sung, not the version we had this morning, but it's another version quite easily sung, and that can perhaps be your special song. What's in a name? Well, I hope you realize from all I've been saying, there is quite a lot in the name. Quite a lot. And you might be able to think about your own names and ask what they mean and how those names say something to you of the God who calls you by name and makes you his own. And he's called all of us wonderfully and amazingly to grow up in all things into Christ by his amazing grace and his transforming love. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for making your commitment today, reminding us all of our own commitment, our own searching for the truth of the love of God in our lives. And we pray for you and with you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.